Liebecker Without a Fight and Tiger Drive with Save Me. You are listening to Some Sort of Rock Show on WJTL, and I'm your host, John Stafiri. Joining me now is our old friend Josh Bramlett of The Protest. They, of course, had the number one song on our top 60 of 2018 countdown, What Else You Got? And they are continuing to dominate here on Some Sort of Rock Show. Josh, once again, congratulations, and thanks for taking the time to talk with me tonight.
Hey, John, thanks so much, man. Again, dude, it's super humbling to have the support from the station and the listeners. We definitely don't take it for granted, man. God is good.
He is good. And Josh, take us back a few years to rural Indiana, where you and your brother were hanging out, being Hoosiers, probably shooting hoops. When did the idea of putting a rock band together come into the picture?
Well, it's funny you mention that because, growing up in Indiana, we were and still are massive basketball fans. I bleed blue and gold, man. I love the Indiana Pacers. I happened to have a little kid. And up until early middle school, I really thought I had a very good chance of making the NBA. And then reality set in, and I'm like, well, that probably won't work out. But honestly, man.
Well, wait. I want to explore that for just a second. First of all, do most kids growing up in Indiana think they've got a chance to make the NBA?
Probably.
And then when you hit middle school, what exactly told you, it probably isn't going to happen?
Well, a couple things. One, that I didn't realize that at the time, there was politics involved.
It's always politics. Yes.
Yeah, you got to go to the right school and have the right, background. And I also realized that I wasn't that good. I took that pretty hard, but I'm glad it all worked out.
That's fantastic. The basketball thing didn't work out, even though you grew up a Pacers fan. So probably when you were in middle school, was that still Reggie Miller's heyday?
Oh, yes, sir.
And you had Rick Smits?
Yep, Dale Davis. I'm telling you, man, that was a great squad. I've got a huge Reggie Miller plaque on my wall of my home still.
Wow, that's impressive. So basketball wasn't in the future, and you had to come up with a plan B.
Pretty much. So I went for another hard to achieve dream, and I haven't shook this one yet. But it's a total God thing. My brother and I, we started listening to the band Kiss growing up. That was our first big intro into rock and roll and the theatrics of it, and just how big it could be. And from there, we just really got into rock and roll music. We met some friends that had similar interests, and that's kind of how The Protest was born. We've been playing shows since I was 13. My brother was 11 or 12, and I'm 28 now. So
wow.
It's been quite the time, man. The lineup we have now has been about since 2009. So,
wow, that is a long time for one band to be playing together. So your first influence is Kiss. When I listen to your music, I hear a little bit different theming in your lyrics than what I would with a typical Kiss album. I'm not a Kiss aficionado, I have to admit, but I'm going to guess that for the most part, you've strayed away from their themes. Tell us about how that worked in your life.
Sure, man. That's a really good question. And, when I mentioned that Kiss was a major influence for me in a lot of the interviews, I think a lot of Christians are scratching their heads and they're thinking, how can that be? Truth is, man, I'm not saying that God used Kiss in my life, but I will say that I discovered rock and roll before I discovered Jesus. When I started playing music, I had no intentions of doing it for anyone but myself. In late high school, Jesus wrecked my life, changed my life up and down. And it was then that I realized, I can use this sound, my passion for rock and roll, to reach people with the gospel, because it's so radically changed my life. I want to help change other people's lives too through Jesus. It's always tough. I love the energy of Kiss. I love a lot of things. Unfortunately, a lot of their content and their themes do differ from ours. So I think the big thing for Kiss for me at a young age was just realizing that, rock and roll could be this pretty big sound, this pretty big thing. So
yeah, I like the way you added the theatrics and the production everything right. that goes into one of their shows, because certainly, historically, they are one of the great rock and roll bands in American history. No question about that.
Oh, definitely.
Still getting it done today. And so I can understand how that was a big part. You know, we just talked with Eric Van Zandt not too long ago. I don't know if you know Eric, but he played with the band Seventh Time Down, and he was telling me that that it was Lynyrd Skynyrd, Freebird, that got him started. And so, again, he has adapted the style to share his faith just like you have as well. But it was that rock and roll influence, that sound that is bigger than life, that connected you with it. That makes sense to me.
Right. And then what really hit it home for me was when I heard bands like Disciple and like Skillet when I was in high school. And then I was like, man, this can be amazing. So we started going to about every Disciple show we could and Skillet show we could. And the humbling thing is that, you know, now years later, you know, we went from watching Disciple front row rocking out to, you know, touring with them and calling them some of our best friends. And we just played with John Cooper's Fight the Fury the last couple days. And he's an incredible dude. And it's super humbling to meet these guys and just find out that they are the real deal, man.
And this past summer, you released a head-turning album called Legacy on Sony Rockfest Records. Tell us about the process of putting your third studio album together.
You know, we had a very big gap. After Great Lengths came out at the end of 2014, we just started playing as much as we could, touring as much as we could, and years went by, and we had been writing, but nothing was really sticking yet. So when we buckled down and decided to start really working hard at it, we wrote all these songs and kind of had to start from scratch because we wanted to go a different direction. And it was a pretty long process. Finding our producer that would fit our style was also a big process. And once those pieces kind of fit into place, we started doing some co-writes with some amazing writers. We started writing better just because we're, you know, older and a little bit more experienced and stuff now. And we were back and forth from Nashville for almost 6 months trying to finish up parts and all that stuff. And we're super, super happy with the way it turned out.
Noise Revolution is a track that feels a lot like the title, actually. Can you talk about Noise Revolution for us?
Sure. If you're familiar with our last record, we had a song called Rebel Static on there. And this song kind of echoes Rebel Static. It's the thought process that there's this generation of young people who are on fire for the Lord. And we believe that this whole movement has the opportunity to change people's lives. And that's kind of the thought process behind it. It's kind of an invitation. Join the movement. Help us set this world on fire.
We've been talking with Josh Bramlin of The Protest. Josh, thank you so much for taking some time again to talk with us here on Some Sort of Rock Show.
Yeah, hey, dude, it's an honor, man. I love what you guys do. Keep it up, and thanks for all the support.
You've got it, my friend. Look forward to connecting with you in the future. Josh Bramlin of The Protest, ladies and gentlemen.